Hey guys, welcome back to Burnout Brighter. This is episode 165, and we have Justin with us from Boom Slank. I am going to introduce my other two co-hosts, but I just had to throw that out there because I'm super excited that he took time to come on. So the first person I'm going to introduce is, well, I already introduced Justin, but you know, as my co-host, I have to figure out which one I want to say first. And honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm pulling a Matt. But I'm not going to add all those random adjectives to the front. Evan, thanks for being on. Guys, if you don't know, Evan is joining the Burnout Brighter podcast. We're super excited to have him on. He's going to help us bring in the year 2023. And then you have Matt. Hey, Matt.
Wow, the vocal drop off when you got to my name was not only hurtful, but also steep. And we have Matt. Hi everyone. It's apparently nice to be here.
I love Matt. And Matt is always here and supporting us. And you know what? What's really important is the fact that, and I say this before, I've said this before, but that you're so open to having these conversations with other Black content creators. Do you know what I'm saying? Because there's so many people who don't. So you know I always appreciate you. Thank you for being here and continuing to strive to make this podcast better. Let's jump right into it. We definitely want to show our audience and our listeners some stuff from Boom Slank. So we're going to throw up a video and we're going to like scan through so you guys can check out some stuff.
Hello everyone and welcome to Boom Slank, an incredible site featuring anime-themed original art. They have a variety of items you can get this art on, whether it be a t-shirt, a hoodie, phone case, or even stickers. So let's sit back and chill as we take a journey through Boom Slank. Thanks for watching, and check out the website link in the description down below.
But also, I really, really want you guys to support them. Go to their Twitter, go to their Instagram. They are basically on every social media platform there is. And at the end, we're going to have him drop those socials and we'll put them down at the bottom. So make sure that you check it out. Their stuff is absolutely fabulous. We actually have somebody modeling some of their stuff today. Go ahead, Evan, show it off. Look how amazing that art is. It's incredible. So let's jump right into it. Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself, the conceptualization of Boom Slank, and, you know, what are your plans for the future?
Sure. That's interesting. Where to start? Well, my name is Justin Anyanwu. My brothers and I were originally from Nigeria. We came here in 98, and I did computer engineering and computer science in NC State. Near the end of my tenure in college, I realized that I think I want to be an entrepreneur. I would like to start a business. Before that, actually, my desire was to probably get a job with IBM, because back then IBM was like the Facebook of our time. This is, I'm kind of dating myself now. This was like,
it's okay.
2006, right? And I had interned with IBM a couple of times. So I just enjoyed being able to play foosball and drink free soda. And I thought that was that was how simple things were for me then. I was like, man, if I get to drink free soda at work, this is a company I want to work for. So near the end, I there was a meeting with some guys, some alumni that started talking about how they started their own company. And that stuck with me. So at the time, my younger brother, David, was kind of feeling a little burnt out with life in general. And he had a job as a Walgreens cashier and he wasn't happy. Incidentally, he also had a hobby of just drawing, right? Mainly anime. You'd find him on Flickr, be a DeviantArt and Pixiv. And I took notice and I thought his art was amazing. This was very early on. So I approached him and I was like, you know, we could try to start something with this. I don't know what, but let's try and do something. And the initial version of Boom Slank was actually really weird. Basically, what we had was a website where you could download like these fancy flash based desktops.
Ooh, okay.
Cool.
Try to think of those wallpapers that were dynamic, that kind of
Yeah.
I don't remember what Windows operating system allowed for dynamic wallpaper, but I thought it would be cool to take advantage of that. We had no idea what we were doing. And so that didn't pan out. I'm actually skipping a little bit because at the time when we came up with the name Boomslank, we were actually just looking for a URL that was available. So we were just tossing a bunch of words and combining letters. And we found out Boomslang, which was Boomslank with a G at the end. And then we were like, huh, that's the name of a deadly snake in South Africa. So that's not a good omen. So we took out the G, and that worked. So we're like, okay, Boomslank it is. Let's just stick with Boomslank for now and just move on. And ever since then, it stuck. So obviously, at some point, we pivoted to graphic tees. And the first graphic t-shirt we launched was the airport, but kind of black and white, like a manga style version of it. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have enough confidence to put ourselves out there. So we sold it for $1 and naturally sold out in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but... absolutely.
I remember we told our friends about that and they were just really, really angry with us. They were like, you shouldn't have done that. They were like, "This that t-shirt was beautiful. It was worth at least $30 or something." And we're like, yeah, but, you know, we weren't sure how people would receive it. But it turns out that a lot of people loved it. People were upset that it was sold out. So I guess that was what gave us the impetus to move forward with further designs.
And so, that's wild because, like, Airport is one of my favorites on the site. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And just to think that you guys put that up for $1, that also must have, like, triggered some good word of mouth for, like, the next,
what came along next.
Because, like, it's gorgeous.
It did. I you know, the thing about confidence is, like, it's internal. So you may not realize that you got something good going on, mm-hmm. and other people do. But if you don't realize it for yourself, it's kind of pointless. And at the time, we just didn't know. We were so scared because that was the first time we put something out there. And also being that we're Nigerians, we were like super nervous because we were like, how are we going to receive it that this stuff was created by Nigerians and not even like Asians or anything anything like that? So we were super nervous. We were like, you know, it's $1. Please just take it. You know?
But honestly, that's a really good marketing. Like, for anybody who's like listening, if you don't believe in yourself and your shit is dope, sell it for $1, get a lot of talk around it, and then bam. Like, I honestly think that's, and I know you didn't do that for marketing, but I think that was like a really smart marketing move. Like, look at where you are now from just selling that t-shirt for $1. So for everybody who's mad, look at where they are now. Because okay. I think that's incredible. Because as soon as you said $1, who's not going to buy a t-shirt for $1? You know, who's not going to buy a t-shirt for like $5 now? I mean, I do at Five Below. I have a lot, but they're in a collection. I don't wear them, and they're under my bed, and like not a Tupperware, but like a thing. But I do want to buy some shirts from you guys. But let me stop because I'm going to get into another question about some of the things that you have on your apparel. But please finish.
Right. So somewhere along the line, my second brother, Kevin, joined in as well because he saw what we were doing and he thought it was cool. And he joined up, came along. And I'm glad he did because what I have is a lot of kind of big picture kind of thing. Kevin, on the other hand, has a talent for the minute details and the mundane, right? That would kind of drive me nuts. But Kevin is really good at that. Like, just making sure like all the logistics are ready for when we go to a convention. Because I can't be bothered to do that. I just don't have the patience. But Kevin, I don't know whether he enjoys it, but he has the discipline to handle it. And I'm forever grateful he's part of it because I probably wouldn't have bothered. And then we won't be where we are as a result. But yeah, so as a result, it's now being run by three brothers, me, David, and Kevin. And the whole process of running the company is just a journey. of trying to figure out how to keep moving to the next level. And, you know, so in between trying to figure out what to do next, Dave is working on the arts and Kevin is trying to figure out conventions we can attend. So that's how we got here.
So I'm going to hop in real quick here, dude, because I also have two brothers, and I can only imagine what it would be like if the three of us tried to start a business together. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm on great terms with both of them, but the two of them, very clashing personalities. So how is it in that kind of atmosphere working with family and is such a, and especially, I mean, you see each other every day on top of working together. How do you navigate those waters, or is it even an issue?
Oh yeah, it definitely is an issue. Our personalities are all very different. It's actually quite amazing how different people all are. And, you know, I don't like, because my thing is I'm a little bit impatient and Kevin is super methodical. And David is more or less like, I can go with you. So as a result, Kevin and I tend to clash a bit on directions where we want things to go. The one thing I would say is that it can get a little annoying having to bump heads, but the process of doing that also allows me to grow as a person, because you quickly start realizing that I have blind spots. I don't always have the answers. I mean, even if I have the answer, it helps to learn how to kind of communicate that or step back, or, you know, be a little bit more diplomatic, right? Kind of provides me as an opportunity to kind of grow, you know, mature as far as like how to negotiate ideas and how to get along with people you don't agree with. And I imagine Kevin's the same way. But yeah, so it like, yeah, it, I mean, it's, I come from a family of five boys and we're all 1 year apart. So we definitely we definitely have very strong opinions about what we want to do. And, you know, fortunately, we're also more interested in making sure that this vision works out. So we automatically learn how to negotiate and kind of still get along as a result. But yeah, we definitely bump heads.
I think that's so important that you brought that up, because I feel like for any group of people who want to work on something and make something kind of flourish, like you have to learn to keep your ego in check. And that is something that you do learn as you start working with other people. Like even working on Burnout Brighter, there have been very rarely have like me and Matt clashed, but there have been times that like, and I'm very opinionated, and sometimes the way I express how I feel comes across really stern and I feel really bad, but like, because he knows me and he's worked with me, he understands. But I always come back and be like, I'm so sorry if I came across a little bitchy. That's really not how I meant to come across. It's very important to know to apologize, right? Like if you feel at any point that like I could be coming across a little shitty, especially based on their reaction, like take that time to check your ego and be like, look, I'm sorry if I'm coming across too harsh.
I agree 1,000%.
Yes. And it's even harder with family. So I'm giving you kudos because
I agree.
With like, family, I'll be like, I don't want to hear it.
I can't tell you the number of times I've gone back and apologized to either Kevin or David because I got really hot headed about something. Especially if you realize you were either wrong, it really helps to quickly let the other person know that, I was wrong. I'm sorry about that. It doesn't help to assume that they know that. It always helps to vocalize that as well, because it shows that you acknowledge that you've wronged them, right? And it goes back to what I was talking about with the maturity process, right? Like, you know, because then also the extra purpose there is like, you learn in the future to kind of watch yourself a little bit as so that you don't repeat the same transgression, at least you try to be vigilant about not repeating the same transgression.
Right.
And especially, as a result, you kind of grew.
Especially because it's like you both mentioned, it's like leaving the ego at the door, even when it's tough, the respect never really goes away. And like, I said, like, you know, we all have our spats, things happen, and all of us have our own flaws that we kind of bring to the table. But at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. We all want to see this thing move forward. And that at the end of the day is what ends up being the most important. And when you have a good team, regardless of the crap, you know, you find a way to push forward together. Because again, look what you've managed to create, the three of you together, even in the midst of all, even in the midst of the difficult times, because it's incredibly impressive.
And the one thing I can always count on with my brothers is I can trust them. I trust my brothers implicitly with my life, regardless of what happens. And maybe it's just due to the fact that I've been working on running this business with them, or I've just known them all my life. But it helps to know that regardless of how this plays out, I can trust my brothers with anything, right?
That's so awesome.
It helps a lot. Your back. Absolutely. Because then absolutely you don't have to worry about other things. Like, for example, I was talking to someone about like, certain people that we probably don't want to have on the podcast. And I know if I like go to Matt or if I go to Evan and I'm like, look, I'm just really uncomfortable having this person on because of like controversy or whatever. I know that they're going to listen to my reasons, and they also respect my decisions. They know I'm not doing this just to be petty. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's great. And just, I don't think we talk about that enough, like having each other's back when it's a small business and making things work for you in a small business, because it's so hard, like especially in America, having a small business is so hard, especially with COVID happening and everything shutting down. And the fact that you came from a completely different country and you guys have set this up, listen, there are people who are born here who can't get to the point that you're at. And that just, I mean, like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of like your entire team, and that you work so hard. The art is clean. Okay. So I'm like, it is so nice. The setup is nice. I can't imagine all the like conventions and things that you have to do. I know I get irritated with just scheduling people, and not irritated with the people I schedule, but just trying to work out everything because there's so many moving parts, you know? So I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing for the culture. I appreciate what you're doing for the Black community at large, because there are so many, like just growing up, and I'm sure Evan, you can attest to this, growing up and being that nerdy Black kid who likes anime and playing video games, like you get made fun of a lot. You know what I mean? You don't know where your tribe is. And so seeing someone like you creating something out of something you love, where before people were like kind of getting made fun of, I love that. I love that. And I'm going to push the brand as much as I can. But I also want to know if you guys plan on putting minorities on some of your art, because that is, look, I am screaming for that. Japan isn't going to do it. And you guys are blowing the art out of the fucking water. Are you going to do it for us?
It's funny you should ask, because we had this conversation. And I should also preface this by saying that because we grew up in Nigeria, we see the issue of race a little differently. Like we don't think too much about it, right? It's one of those privileges of growing up in a country where everyone else looks like you. So you have that security of knowing that you don't have to worry about being excluded. So you come into the US and you're you know, all the racial tension is not something you're sensitive to. So when we started watching anime and we fell in love with anime and we started drawing anime, all we were just thinking of is we're making traditional anime, right? And David just loves traditional anime. And so what is traditional anime? It's just usually mainly Japanese or European looking characters, right? And that's all David was doing. He wasn't even really thinking about race. He was just doing it for the sake of the craft. But, you know, there was this one character he drew, Aya, one of our mascots, and he wasn't thinking about her skin color when he drew her. He just thought, he saw someone, there was a girl he saw that inspired him. And he thought the girl had a strong vibe, and he used that as a muse to draw Aya. That was it. But when we went to a convention, a lot of our Black fans saw it and fell madly in love with it. And we're quite upset when they didn't see her anywhere else. And me being the business-minded person, I I see an opportunity. And I'm thinking, it was like, you know, this is an opportunity to make some money. So I talked to David. I was like, hey, look, they really love Aya. We have to show, put her in some of our arts moving forward, because a lot of these people, like a lot of our fans at the conventions, love this character. Let's bring her to the forefront whenever we can. And David has listened. The thing is, though, David is an artist. And what I find with artists is, have you watched Bleach?
Yes.
Yes.
There's an Aranka in Bleach, Wanda Weiss.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember Wanda Weiss?
Yeah.
Wanda Weiss is incredibly powerful. The difference is Wanda Weiss traded all that power for his ability to speak, right? So there's a trade-off. You sacrifice your voice for incredible power. Artists are like that, in my opinion. They trade off something for incredible talent, right? It could be like the ability to read a room or something like that, or the ability to see an opportunity, right? And they trade it for incredible talent. I feel like David is somewhat like that, in the sense that he has all this talent, but he kind of lacks that ability to say, there's an opportunity here. David is like, I'm just going to dance to the beat of my own drum and just make art the way I see it. And I'm like, no, listen to me. There is an opportunity here. There are people who are willing to give us money if we just do something real quick. Please work with me. So
I understand that. We work with a lot of artists.
Right. Yeah, no, right. David is just David. He's an artist. He has a quirk. And what I found is all artists have quirks. I met an artist in a convention that her quirk was, if you didn't have money, she would give you something for free. That irritated me.
Oh, wow.
But that's right. And I personally thought that was irritating to watch, but that's her quirk, right? Like, and what I found is the more talented the artist, the more weird their quirk is, right?
This is true. This is 100% true.
Yeah.
So David has a quirk, right? But I think he's fine. So I'm trying to get him to realize that, hey, we're running a business here. We're running a brand. I know you have this artistic integrity you're trying to maintain, which is in the sense of, I draw what I feel in my heart, or I draw what I am inspired to draw. Like, he drew Aya because he was inspired to draw Aya, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't draw Aya because, hey, there's an opportunity here to sell to African-Americans or minorities. He just drew Aya because it came from his heart, right? I wanted to draw Aya more because there's financial opportunity, right? So I'm different, right? Mm-hmm. And David is just a pure artist, right? This is all to say that we are going to step bringing Aya back out. We're working on some art. I don't know when it'll be available, but I'm excited because the character design for Aya is pretty strong, in my opinion. I think David really did a good job designing her. Mm-hmm. So, and I also feel like we have the Zodiac Lion hoodies. The plan is to bring her out in one of the Zodiac Lion hoodies we make moving forward. But so it's just a matter of time. I just humbly ask that people be patient with us, because
I'm excited. As long as I know it's coming, yeah. I am excited. Evan wants to say something, but really quick before I throw it to Evan, it's really interesting that you say, like, you come from a place where, like, you don't really feel that you're not represented. And I think that's something that, like, is really important, especially if you're going to live in the United States. Like, even if you come from a place where there wasn't that racial tension, there is so much here to the point where, like, David just simply drawing one character, many Black people were just like, oh my God, that's so amazing, because the lack of representation across social media everywhere. I have no idea what it's like to grow up in a place where you just see Black people all the time, like where Black people control the media, where do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, we're not the best friend or we're not the token. And it's
And it's interesting because, you know, I don't know what that's like. Right.
I think you're incredibly lucky.
I don't know what kind of person I would have been like, I know I would have been a different person, say, if I grew up here as a child. I came here when I was 14, right? And a lot of the people in my, even in my social circles, were still from Nigeria at the time. So that worldview was still ingrained, you know, over time before I kind of absorbed my new environment. But I came here not thinking that, you know, that the racial tension was a factor, because I grew up where it wasn't an issue. I grew up where it was 98% of everyone there were Black. And, you know, I just felt like, okay, you know. So I feel like, I guess I'm privileged not to have to deal with that, not to come to a context where that's a factor. And I should add that that has shaped the way we look at things, right? That Absolutely. Idea of not having to worry about the racial tension, that has definitely shaped the way my brothers and I see the world in general, right? So, for me, the decision to bring more representation for melanated skin, for me, just going off of the nature of my character, is one that's driven by opportunity. I see an opportunity. For me, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. Let's just add them together already, right? So I'm not seeing it from that position of racial tension. I'm seeing it from the position of, I see a lot of people who have demand for what we put out. Let's give it to them, right? Mm-hmm. It's purely pragmatic, incidentally, right? Now, I just have to convince David to step away from his artistic nature / quirk and kind of join me on that pragmatic journey as well. And Kevin is already part of it as well. He kind of sees it like the same way I see it. And it's like, here's a great opportunity to connect with a fan base that doesn't feel like they've been represented, right? We're serving two purposes here. We're expanding our fan base, and we're connecting with a particular section of our fans that don't feel like anybody cares about them, right? So it serves two purposes, and I will gladly see to it that it happens, because it can only be a win-win, right? Mm-hmm. So,
because I'll tell you, Justin, how I heard of you, my mentor is actually a comic artist at Marvel in DC. And what? he was wearing one of your shirts. He was wearing the Frame Zero shirt, the second generation, where it's gray.
Yeah.
And I walked up to him and I'm like, "Oh, dude, where'd you get the shirt?" And he was like, he explained your story to me. And just from people hearing your guys' story, he's like, "Oh, I think it's these brothers from Africa." I was like, "Wait, what? This isn't like an anime?" Because Boomslang, honestly, it sounds like an anime when you first hear it, if like you've never heard it before. So I was like, "Oh, what? I got to check this out." And just from that, multiple people that I know got into your brand. So just I'm that alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Evan who introduced us to you guys in the first place. And we saw your art. We're like, "Holy shit, we need to talk to these guys. This is unreal."
I'm not going to lie. It was mostly for me because y'all were Black. I'm not even going to like, as soon as Evan was like, "Yeah, they're creating this stuff," I'm like, "Black people creating anime that looks dope as fuck? Yes, we need to have them on the show." And that's like a different perspective, like from what you're saying. Like, I can't help but see it from the way that I see it. Like, yeah, I'm going to put you guys on the platform and like lift you up because, you know what I'm saying?
I completely understand. And it's funny because my brother Drew, I posted something about 2 weeks ago. He put out some art with our mascots and Aya with a katana. That blew up. In fact, we got featured on Blurred. I don't know if you've heard of Blurred.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote a blog article about us. We'd even asked them
Congratulations.
To.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So I told my brother, this is part of me. I was like, "Hey, you see, Blurred just wrote about us. Let's big up Aya already, because people want this. Let's give it to them. Like, people want this. People really want this. It's so obvious to me. Like, let's give it to them because people want it."
Especially if it's a character that he already likes drawing.
Yeah.
Especially the character he already feels like a connection to. And I know for an artist, like there needs to be that connection to their art. So
there's,
and I think that's very smart of you. Instead of saying, "Hey, why don't you create more Black characters. No, you're saying, right. Hey, you already have a character that you already love.
He has
put her on more things. Two that you already love.
Right.
Let's put them on more stuff. Yeah.
We have one other mask. Is a guy, but he wears a mask, right? But he's a Black dude, and his name is Drake. So he wants to keep him a mystery for now, but you know. The thing is,
wait, are we getting some exclusive info?
Can
we keep this in the podcast?
You see, if my brother Kevin were here, he would probably like, you should stop talking right now.
Well, I'm glad Kevin is not here. Please go on.
Thank you. Yeah. Exclusive here.
but yeah, like, so we, like, it's the opportunity and potential is all there. It's just that, it's that quirk, right? That annoying quirk that artists have, and by, you know, like my brother, we are literally on his schedule. And the thing is, his schedule is too slow for my own pragmatic schedule, right? I'm like, I don't, you know, it's like everything has to feel like it came from the soul or from the heart. I'm like, come on, man, convince yourself.
It's like, I get it. But yeah, I can't draw for other people.
Right.
I can only draw for myself.
So then based off of that, with a lot of your guys' designs, is it all something that David just comes up with on his own? Or do you guys come together and you're like, okay, we need a new mech shirt. We need a new schoolgirl tournament fighting shirt. Like, how does that work?
Right. All of it is from him. Like, we're literally just like, what else is he going to bring from the mountain? Like, he just, you know. Right. It's like, we literally don't know. We just don't know. One day it's something that's like, oh, wow, that, okay, wow. And, you know, it's like we don't know.
And it's always spectacular. So literally, he can draw whatever he wants. Yeah. And then you're like, all right, we're going to put this on a t-shirt. We're going to put this on a sketchbook. I love it.
Precisely, yeah.
I'm a little bit curious then. It's like, what are like your time frames like? Did you find that he comes up with something like once a week, twice a week? Or is it literally like, here's something one day, here's something a week from now, here's something a month from now? Is it like sporadic how does that work into the process?
It's actually super sporadic, right? Yep. It goes back to the quirk thing, right? It's funny because there was a poster where he was working on and he just stopped and scrapped it after 4 months. And we're like, oh.
That is literally on, what it's man. Like to work with an artist.
Yeah,
it's
so that's hard. What it is.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. Correct.
Who is it? Natasha, I can't remember her last name, but for Bee and Puppy Cat, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it was like this short that was on YouTube. It was produced by Frederator Studios, and it took them, they did a Kickstarter. They raised like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but because she's an artist and she works on her own time and artists don't like to feel boxed in by a schedule or anything like that, it took them years to get it to like, I can't even remember. Like, people who put money into it have been waiting. They finally came out with it on Netflix like this year.
Yeah.
Literally the first one posted maybe like 10 years ago. So it took her that long. And so when I was talking to somebody who like had connections at Network, because I was thinking about possibly not promoting, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyways, I was showing them some storyboards of something that I wanted to produce. Mm-hmm. And they brought her up as an example, and they were like, you know, artists are really hard to work with because sometimes they're happy, they're excited, they're really into what they're creating. And then like in an hour, they're just like, nah, I hate all of it. It doesn't feel right.
True.
And you can't push them because they're your main source. So like, if they're not producing it, like, you're just like, well, I guess we got to wait. And you kind of coddle them to be like, yeah, no, this looks great. Come on. I feel you.
You just, you know, you just say, okay, and hang off the phone and go. Yeah. Gently sob in the corner. Olympus, right? I don't know if you guys have seen the Olympus poster. Mm-hmm. It is our most popular print. It took him 6 months to make that.
Oh, wow.
6 months. Yeah, 6 months. And then he launched it, and then Kotaku picked it up, and a couple of other blogs picked it up, and were like, you know what? I guess it was worth it, but Jesus. Like,
yeah.
6 months.
But you know what's smart, though? You're able to take that art and put it on a lot of different things. So I think it works for you. If you were like doing, like, I work with a comic artist who is one of our artists on our things. And like, I think his quirk is like his time management. He'll even say that. He's a very much a yes man. Yes, I'll get that done. But like, he'll wait till the last minute. So then when I get mad and I have to call him, then like he overworks and he overproduces. It's like, if you had just done what I asked you to do the first time, yeah, you'd be doing all this extra stuff.
Yeah, no, like I yes. Yes, it's like, hey, just give me this. And next thing you know, you get like a scar.
Yes.
Like, I'm like,
oh my God, absolutely. You're like, just show me some rough sketches. That's not what I asked for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, artists are a special breed of people, that's for sure.
They make the world go round, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would hate to live in a world without artists. It would be so fucking boring.
I imagine it would be quite depressing.
Yeah.
It would be quite depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has there been any
designs that like David was like, I'm not feeling this, and you guys were like, no, put it on a shirt immediately, and then it sold well or anything like that? Has there been any instances like that?
I think we came pretty close.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
No, that is a good question. I can't think of any right now, because I think what tends to happen is once he says he's not feeling it, we're like, okay, look, the artist is not feeling it, and we can't force it. And a lot of the time,
it's not even completed. And actually, that comes with the whole respect thing that you were talking about earlier,
right?
Like working
right
with a team, and like, and I'm glad that you brought it back to that with that question, Evan, even though I know that wasn't the purpose of it, but that's very important that you're not pushing someone to put something out there that they don't feel good about.
Yeah, right? Right. Because then you're probably going to tell that this is not his best work. Right. Mm-hmm. So no, like we value quality, right. And much to the detriment of time. Right. So for instance, like our Zodiac line is well behind schedule, unfortunately. Like we should have, it's Zodiac. There should be 12. There's only one right now.
And I'm sorry.
The delivery on that line was just perfect. There should be 12.
There should be 12. We have one.
So, I mean, and it's not for lack of trying. It's been almost 3 years. And, you know, he had a Gemini. And then we saw him like, yeah, he was like, I'm not feeling that either.
You were like, oh, this is dope. He's like, I'm not really feeling it. You know what? You're right.
Yeah. So like, back to the drawing board. So like, the thing is, Our approach right now is like, it's got to be perfect. And the interesting thing is that sometimes it's not a good strategy, because there's a saying that perfection is the enemy of complete. And, you know, in the world of business, time is a factor. And it just so happens that we are in a unique situation where the driving force in our brand is our artist, right? And he has a unique quirk that means that we work on his schedule, incidentally, right? So one of the things we do now is like, we realize that he has this quirk. And so we, you know, use some of the art on other platforms, like, you know, Megalith is a t-shirt and a phone case and a banner. I prefer we didn't do that because I like things feeling more exclusive.
Yes.
But we also see that, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have it exclusive, but it will also make a really great case. So Megalith's our most popular phone case by far, right? We got people
is that like a team decision then? Is that like he'll come, you know, with the art and you guys are like, are we doing a shirt this time? Are we doing a print? Like, how does that decision land? How do you land on the art lands?
Yeah, that is actually a democratic decision, yes.
Okay.
So we're all coming up like, who wants this to be a case? Who wants this to be a shirt? Or whatever. And then we all kind of vote on it, right? Mm-hmm. And then we move forward once we've made that decision, right? It just gets a little difficult when we try to focus on something that's a little more exclusive, like the Zodiac line. We're trying to keep that exclusive. So the Leo design, you're not going to find it on any other thing. We'll like to keep it that way, right? Problem is, it means that now we just have to wait for the next one. It's literally like just drops of water, drops of distilled water, right? Like just the water drops once a week, right? And you're trying to fill up a cup, right? So, but that's the process, right? And that's just how we are kind of doing things right now. You know, just organic food, I guess, no GMO. We're not, you know, using fertilizer to rush things, I suppose.
No, I get it. I appreciate you saying that because I think I would be in the same spot as you. Like, I have very little patience, especially when I'm thinking big picture. Mm-hmm. And like, I wish I was more patient, but like when I want something, like I'll put out like a schedule, like, okay, so within this 6 months time, you need to have this done. If you do not have this done within 6 months, like 6 months, you're not going to want to see me at the end of that 6 months. Like we are going to have a problem. And, and I know that sucks, but like, I feel like for me, I don't have to have control, but I need a little bit of control. And so I know it's really hard working with artists because like I've had to work with artists like, hey man, so, you know, I talked to you last week, you got those sketches. And oh, for example, when we got our art done for, we got some new art done for Burnout Brighter. I was constantly up Matt's ass. Like, has he said anything? It's been like a week, like, because we wanted to showcase it for our special anniversary episode, which we didn't get to because the art was not done. But I let Matt handle that because I know how I am. And it's like, I've paid you. This is when I want it done. Like, make sure it's done by that time. Or give me a reason as to why you couldn't do it.
Right. I think you and I are very similar.
Very similar. Very similar. So I understand.
Yeah. When it comes to dealing with people like that, I usually have Kevin handle that because
I let Matt do it.
My annoyance, it's hard to hide my annoyance when I'm dealing with people who are like,
right? It's like, on your face. I can't even fake it.
I'm gritting my teeth and smiling as I'm writing it.
I am the same exact way. Listen, I cannot stand working with procrastinators, and sometimes you just have to do it because there's no other way to get what you need done.
Correct.
But listen, the whole time I am cussing them out in my head as I'm smiling at them. Like, I can't believe you fucking have me sitting here and it's 2 weeks late and I've already paid you and That's
Unfortunately, that's not going to solve anything. In fact, it might even make the situation worse.
It'll make it worse. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why Matt does all the talking. Matt's like, hey, guy. So we're just checking in.
That's one of the things about having different personalities on board, because everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, right? Kevin is very professional. I'm not.
You are my brother from another mother. Like, honestly, like, I just feel everything that you're saying right now. Like, yes.
So I'm like, hey, my brother's Nigerian name is Ogona. I'm like, Ogona, you want to send this email to this guy? Because I don't want to write it. It won't go well. So,
as per my last email.
Oh, man. Yeah. Giving me flashbacks already, man.
Evan's like, I've been on the end of that email, man. Oh, man. Evan's like, I know that Destiny email. It's even goes well.
So really quick, Evan's known me since like college, all right? So I don't think I've really changed that much. But like throughout our time working together, just within the game industry and stuff like that, he would get a lot of heated messages from me. Not about him per se, but just about what was going on in general. Right. So I appreciate it. He has been my shoulder to cry on. And so Matt also gets those things. But what's messed up is I feel like a lot of it is at Matt. And I'm just like, why aren't we doing this when we should be doing this? And Matt is so chill, though. He's just like, no, I get it. Does he see where you're coming from? No, I understand. And then I walk away like I've accomplished something.
Well, you know what's funny, Destiny? It's funny that you say that, right? That, like, you know, I'm your shoulder to lean on or whatever. But you're kind of like that, I don't know if you guys watch Key and Peele. There's that skit where like Obama has the anger interpreter. that's what you are for me sometimes, because I'll be like, I don't know how to express how I feel, and then I'll talk to Destiny and Destiny will just say it and I'll be like, yeah, that's
me. Seriously, somebody who's that's like not confrontation. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not confrontational. I struggle with speaking about how I feel, and I'll be like, I don't know how. Destiny's like, this is how you feel. I'm like, you know what? That is how I feel.
But it's, you know, like, people. Yeah, like, okay, so like people like Matt and Evan, you guys have a, like, it's a skill I envy. I just don't have it. Like that calm demeanor in the face of just blaring incompetence. Like, I wish that, I wish I had it.
That,
like,
is the perfect way to say that.
Yeah,
it's that, like, calm in face of blatant incompetence.
Yeah, it it drives me off a wall, because I'm like, we have a schedule here. You agreed to this. Why are you doing this? Right? Mm-hmm. So I just have someone like Kevin or David. David is especially really good at it. He's very diplomatic. So I have either one of, because if I jump in, this deal is going to fall apart. After the year, as soon as I send that email, the next response is, I don't think we should work together. I'm like,
right. No, so, I totally understand you. I wonder if people know that about me. Everybody's like, you're so bubbly. And I'm like, you must not really know me. I don't think I'm that bubbly.
And incidentally, you know, you're thinking to yourself, I'm not asking for much. We agreed to something.
Oh, God.
Right. That's right.
So that's what you're telling me. Fucking language right now. Oh, my God.
That's what you're telling yourself. But the thing is, this is the real world, right?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a straight line in the real world. It's like there are all these curves and meandering stuff, and you need to learn how to navigate it, right? And it involves knowing sometimes when to step out of the picture if you don't know how to speak that language. And I tend to do that a lot, because I noticed that I can't change who I am. I can only improve slightly, but not enough to make it workable. So in certain contexts, I just get out of the way and let someone else who knows how to talk, you know, calmly, take over, right?
So I think I did that recently with Matt. I was just like, I know how I'm going to come across, so can you go talk to this person?
Especially because it's like, it's playing with expectations, right? Like, it's just like, you can't expect everyone to follow expectations the same way that you would.
Right.
Absolutely. Logically, it's easy to understand that. Emotionally, it's kind of just like, no, but why is this not the way that things are? So having that team to be like, that's why I know, like, I'm usually the one to, like, take a backseat and be like, you know what, things are fine. And Destiny's like, no, this is important. I'll be like, you know what, yeah, this is important. And I know if Destiny doesn't say that, then it's probably not that important. We can figure it out as we go. So it comes back down to this, to find success as a solo person, no matter who you are, as an artist, as a business person, as a whatever, is possible, but exceedingly difficult. You need that kind of balance of personalities and balance of priorities and expectations to make something out of, you know, to realize the potential that's there. And that's awesome that you guys have found that balance, because again, you guys are creating incredible artwork, incredible pieces that you're finding, you know, without you guys, I mean, David would just be sitting there on a pile of art with nothing to do with it. And again, without you and Kevin there to help, again, balance the scales and approach things, it doesn't work, right? So you need all of these pieces together for it to function.
Right, right. Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. You know, everyone has to play to their strengths and leverage each other's strengths together to make it work. And that's the only thing I can say. And that's just what I've come to realize while running this business. And it goes back to what I was saying as far as growing as a person and learning a bit more about your own shortcomings. The one thing people don't realize is that nobody has an awareness of their own blind spots. It only occurs the moment you are interacting with other people, and then you notice that, I didn't do that very well, did I? And then you adjust and reiterate, right? And that's the only way you can improve as a person. Nobody has all the answers, right? Nobody's perfect.
I love that. Thank you. And we're closing in on the end of time, but I love that you wrapped it up that way, because it is important. Having a business, working with a team, is always going to be a growing experience. You're never going to meet that, like, ideal thing, because you're working with different personalities, right?
Yes.
But if you're able to work together, you're able to listen to each other and respect each other, like, you can make great things happen, right? Mm-hmm. And not everything is going to be like, you know, roses and rainbows and shit, but like as long as you're able to come back together.
Roses, rainbows, and shit, the big three.
As long as you're able to come back together, like that's really what's important. I mean, when you work with people in a close-knit thing, not just family, but they become family. Like obviously me and Matt are not related at all, but we're still family. You know what I mean? And we're making this work.
I felt the periods in between those words, okay?
But anyways, if people want to find out more about Boom Slank, please, can you drop your socials? Because I know you guys are on a lot of different platforms.
Yeah, so we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're on Facebook, all at Boom Slank. That's at sign BOOMSLANK.
Awesome. And you guys should definitely check them out. I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't know you
were talking. It's okay.
You should definitely check them out. And please stay tuned because we have a video up. I know it's a little dated. It's from 9 years ago. But guys, I want you to go watch this video. It's incredibly well done. And it shows the progression of where they've kind of started and how far they've come. And I promise you, if you want to get out there, you want to start a company, you want to work with people, you want to make something happen, use Boom Slank as inspiration. You can do it. Just go out there and do it. All right.
That's so legit. I have no doubts in my mind that you guys are only going to continue to exceed and excel. I can't wait. Like, I'm going to be ordering stuff from the website immediately. I can't wait to be walking around and be like, that's a boobs like. And I'll be like,
one of those billboards.
Yes, Times Square. Yeah.
Times Square. Oh my God.
You have no idea how amazing it feels when, like, you're going out to go buy lunch. And you see someone wearing your shirt and they don't even know you from Adam. And you're like, where'd you get that from? They're like, oh, I have this website that has, like, I'm like, what? Oh, man. And you don't even tell them who you are.
You just let them guess about it.
That is so cool. A smoke bomb down and walk away. They're going to be like, what's that guy?
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. And you know, the real irony is that I remember I was on IBM campus and I saw an employee wearing a Pisces t-shirt. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I felt so good. I loved that. That's exciting.
So before we end, I'm gonna ask my co-host, is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
I think for me, you guys have been a huge inspiration since I've heard of you. So it's honestly an honor to have just hear your story and have this chance to talk to you. So just thank you for coming on and talking with us, man.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate it.
Legit, absolutely. Same. And like I said, like I have no doubts that this is only going to continue to excel and exceed. You guys are going to crush it. I hope you come and join us again in the future because it was a pleasure talking to you. Genuinely, thank you for your time.
You got it, Matt. I definitely would love to come back. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and I feel really honored that you guys approached us to talk to us because I still don't, like, even till today, I don't feel like we are all that special, honestly, and we're still working towards it. So whenever anyone feels that we are worth interviewing, it feels good. I mean, because it feels like we're being acknowledged for something, and it feels great. So the pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
And next time I'll have a Boom Slank shirt on.
Yeah, I'll have one too. Today I'm wearing Pringles, but don't let that tell you anything about me. Anyways, but thank you so much, Kevin. Who is Kevin?
Kevin is the other brother.
I'm tired. I am tired. And we're just going to keep that in as a blooper, whatever.
Kevin is also the name of the Pringles guy, so that's probably why.
Maybe. Is it really?
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I knew that was coming.
Like, okay. Anyways, thank you. I've said anyways like 15 times. Thank you so much, guys. This is the end of episode 165. Don't forget to check out all of our other videos.
Sorry, Des. Whenever we feature Aya in a major way, I'll hit you up and say we can send you a free merch. Actually, that goes to all of you, like, just thank you. Once it drops, I'll send you guys.
Okay, listen, but if you do that, you should come back on the show.
Yes, 100%.
When you do that drop, you should come back on the show so we can push all of it, okay? Like, that's the only way I'm going to accept anything. I'm just kidding. I accept free stuff all the time, but still. But everyone, thank you so much for being a part of this. Don't forget to check out the rest of our shows. Don't forget to check out Bonus Level on Level One Gaming, a minority-owned network that uplifts Black voices in gaming. And also, I really think they would love to have you guys on their show. I'm going to do some introductions whenever you have some time. Get on there, talk about it. They're an amazing crew of people. Mm-hmm. Are we announcing the giveaway this week?
Yeah, it would have probably been announced around today. Like, I'm just going to hit up the YouTube comments. If you've won one of the Halloween giveaways, make sure you check the YouTube comment that you answer to. I will be replying to you there. We'll be sending you a bunch of free stuff. Thank you all for entering. We appreciate all of you. Get ready for more in the future.
All right. Love you guys. Bye. See you in the next episode.
Bye.
Peace.
When did I get into anime? I'd have to say, well, we came here in 98. We came to the United States in 98. It's either Dragon Ball Z or Gundam Wing. I think it was Gundam Wing. I remember an episode my brother brought back from a friend of his in high school. And we just like all sat and watched it on his computer and we were like, wow. What is this amazing thing? And so, you know, it was awesome. It had everything that, you know, I am personally into, which is like machines and robots and, you know, action, you know, being a little kid and all. And I'm not sure when, but at some point I learned that these were created, you know, they were Japanese. They were created by Japanese artists or mangaka. And this is why they're different, you know, and it's, that's when I pretty much learned that this was something else. And I guess it was, the rest is history. I fell in love with the art style and the culture and I just started drawing anime from there.
I've always wanted to start my own company. I didn't know what yet. So I had this crazy idea that involves my brother's artwork. What I noticed is there weren't too many clothing brands out there pushing original anime creations. Everything was based on licensed artwork, which is fine, but you know, we like original things. So that's what we went for.
The passion, the dedication, the hard work that they put into it, and also the art itself was beautiful. And I knew that they really had something on their hands, and I wanted to be part of it, so to speak.
I feel like, you know, this is my chance to do what I, you know, make a living doing what I love doing and sharing my abilities with people. You know, I get to go to amazing conventions and just meet other like-minded otaku people. and so, you know, so for me, Boom Slank is, it's much more than just, you know, just much more than just a business.
But overall, we set out to reach out to anime fans just to kind of, I don't know, propagate that culture, you know, through the artwork, through the clothing brand, strengthen that culture, strengthen the following, see it to a point where people are walking around wearing anime artwork and they're very proud of it and they will never give it up for the world.